This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Wow, what a blessed time of worship. I think let's give this band just a hand. My brothers and sisters, 2018 is lying on its back, and we are facing 2019. And so many of us, I believe, here this morning, is wondering, how will I be able to face 2019? If I can ask you the question, how many of you have ever experienced chaos in your life? Whom of you have experienced extreme chaos? Oh, quite a few. Now, I can guarantee you, if you have two or more kids, children living with you at the same time, I can guarantee you moments of extreme chaos. Now, many of you know our story, that we had three children, and then my wife decided to bless us overnight with another three. So we had six children in 7 years. So it was entering the room, it was like a box of silkworms. And I can tell you, there are so many stories. For us, there was no such thing as an ordinary day. Friends and family only invited us once, because whenever we went to visit there, and my wife would open that combi's door, and they came swarming out. I believe those people must have thought it was the primary school closing for the summer holidays. And I can tell you so many stories of small little incidences we had. I've only got one daughter, and when she was about this size, I bought her a packet of a lucky packet. And in this lucky packet, there was a little plastic car. And of course, the next thing is she parked this car up her nose. And trying to get this car out, she pushed it deeper and deeper. And we were living in the Bundes, and the doctor pushed it even deeper, and it went over. So now having to rush to hospital, not knowing is this thing in a lung or is it in a stomach, whatnot. So small moments like those. Another one, I can remember one of our boys, one of the triplet boys, his breath started smelling terribly. And we scrubbed his mouth. We stopped short of using caustic soda. But this smell just wouldn't disappear. So eventually I saw his nose swelling. And lo and behold, he had stuck beans in every nostril, and they had started germinating. And this was... Now, can you imagine digging all those beans out there? And, but this one I must tell you. You know, we belonged to a church every Sunday morning and every evening. We were faithful in attending church services. And, of course, during the evening service, my kids would all fall asleep behind the benches there. And then, of course, by the end of the service, then I take one to the combi, Delesti, my wife takes one to the combi, I take the other one, and she takes the other one, so on. And then we drive off, and we go in home and into the garage, I take one into the room, she takes one into the room, and so on. And 9 o'clock that night, we went to bed, and then the phone rang. And it was the pastor. He says, "Johnny, how are you?" I said, "No, I'm fine." I said, he said, "How are the kids?" I said, "No, they're fast asleep. I mean, you pray them to sleep during the service." And he says, "You're not missing one, are you?" I jumped up and ran to the room, and lo and behold, there was one missing. So fortunately, just when the pastor switched off the lights of the church, he suddenly woke and screamed, and we got our son. And then the last one, this same little boy. We were visiting a farm, and our friends, and it was at dusk, the sun was just setting, and there was a staircase outside leading to the loft. And this little boy was standing right on top of the stairs. You know, he was playing there. And all of a sudden, around the corner, comes this huge mamba. And this snake goes straight for the stairs. And I'm shouting to him, "Don't come down, stand still." The more I shout, the more he's coming down. In any case, if you want to hear the end of the story, you can speak to me afterwards. Now, fast forward 20 years, and my 18 grandchildren are giving their parents their share of blood and thunder. And God bless them, payback time is sweet. Hallelujah. But my brothers and sisters, so many non-believers or agnostics have asked the question, if there is a God and he is so loving, then why does he allow all these things, negative things, to happen to us? Psalm 61 verse 2 says, "From the end of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Psalm 94 verse 19, "In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delights my soul." And then James 1:23, 1 verse 2, 3, and 4 says, "Dear brothers, is your life full of difficulties and temptations? Then be happy. For when the way is rough, your patience has a chance to grow. So let it grow and don't try to squirm out of your problems." And then a modern day singer, Andre Crouch, said, "If you've never had a problem, you would never know that God could solve them." Right here this morning, in this building, and across our beautiful land, some of us are facing chaos in their lives. Maybe you cannot forgive yourself for things done in your past, and you are letting the past control your present and your future. Maybe some of you have lost your jobs, or you have been unemployed for some time. Some face a marriage crisis. Some has business failure and subsequent financial crisis, family illness, unexpected death or tragedy, broken families. How can I face 2019? But what can we learn from chaos? What can we do to survive this coming storm? On the world scene, significant changes are coming, and things are going to happen. And listening to the news, it seems as if the world is totally out of control. But there in the Bible, there is this account of Jesus walking in the water on the Sea of Galilee amidst a terrible storm. And this story tells us what to do when you feel like going under, when chaos reigns, when fear grabs you by the throat and tries to drown you, what you can do. Let us read Matthew 14, verse 22-29. It says, "Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before them to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It's a ghost.' And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, If it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked in the water to go to Jesus. Can we just pray? Lord Jesus, help us to learn how to trust you in the day of trouble and the hour of chaos, where we go through a savage storm to the other side. Amen. I want to discuss 7 important things about the dynamics of surviving chaos in the midst of a great storm. Number 1, chaos does not mean something is wrong with you. Chaos does not mean that God is angry with you, or God does not love you, or that God has rejected you. Chaos does not mean that if you were in the perfect will of God, you wouldn't be in that storm. In other words, chaos strikes you when you are outside of God's will for your life. Listen. Chaos is a normal part of life, of living. Unfortunately, of course, when we lead someone to Christ, we often would say, if you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your life will just be a bed of roses. That's not true. Albert Schweitzer said, experience is not the best teacher. It is the only teacher. A mighty oak tree starts with a small kernel of seed. It germinates, and this tender stem fights its way out of the ground, only to face the winds and the rain and the hail and the snow and the hot sun, year after year, to become a beautiful oak tree. Now, the original text says, Jesus commanded, he forced them, he gave them no choice to get into that boat. His disciples knew, or at least Jesus knew, that the storm was coming. And the disciples knew they were going head on into trouble, into adversity. And they were about to face their worst fear. They were going to look death straight in the eye. That's chaos. Why the storm? Whether it is physical, emotional, spiritual, or financial, it is only in the storm that your faith can grow. Only when faith is tested by fire that you only know how pure your faith is. Only when you are tested that your character can develop. Only in the storm can you discover the power of God to deliver you. Only in the storm do you call upon the Lord and find Him to be the ever-present help in the time of trouble. The storm develops your confidence. As your confidence is, so is your capacity. Let me explain this. God sent David a lion to kill. And then he sent a bear to kill before he sent the giant Goliath. God is saying that the fight you are fighting now is designed to develop your confidence. If you win this one, the next storm or battle will be a little bit bigger, but you will have the confidence because of your past victory. If you win that one and the next one, God is transforming you from a pew warmer to a lion of God. Do you get the picture, my brothers and sisters? God is doing something great in your life. God had commanded them to go before Him to the other side. So in other words, their safe arrival to the other side was guaranteed. You and I, all of us, are sailing across the sea of life. Some are in a great storm right now. God did not promise smooth sailing, but He did promise that you will reach the other side. And notice that Jesus did not come instantly when the disciples called. He allowed them to stay in that storm for a number of hours. Hulle moes 'n bietjie berei daar before He came to their assistance. And Jesus came walking on the fourth watch, which is between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. Now, why did He not come instantly? Surely, He must have heard their cry. Why? Because God's delays are not God's denials. God does not answer instantly. If He does not answer immediately, does not mean He is not going to answer at all. And He is waiting for persistence to overcome the resistance you are experiencing. And He's trying to develop in you that character of endurance. For those who endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Now Luke 11 verse 5 says, and He said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 2-3 loaves. Verse 8, I say to you, though he will not rise and give them to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise, give him as many as he needs. The resistance of water is necessary for a boat to float. The resistance of air is necessary for a plane to fly. The resistance of gravity is necessary for you to walk. Therefore, God puts us through struggle, through resistance. Therefore, struggle is necessary to develop you into who you are going to be in the kingdom of God. Remember the potter's wheel? When that clay is put on the potter, on the wheel, this thing spins and the clay is wobbling and it's causing the whole thing to wobble. But then the master potter just puts his hand around it, and eventually it is so smooth it seems as if nothing is moving. You and I are the clay. God is the potter. And God used no one in the Bible before He put them through the university of adversity, before He allowed them to be a leader in the kingdom of God. And immediately I just think of Joseph, and I think of Moses. And my brother and sister, you will have your adversity before you reach the other side. But if God is going to make a champion of grace out of everyone of you, that you may be a vessel of honor in the kingdom of God. A second point. Chaos and struggle actually have profound spiritual purpose and meaning. When Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers, and when he was sold a second time in Egypt to Potiphar and falsely accused of rape by Potiphar's desperate wife, and was sent to prison innocently. That must have been chaos in his life, extreme chaos. Sitting in a prison cell year after year, knowing that you are absolutely innocent. And Joseph had the right to pull his hair and scream, why is God not really, where is God when I really need Him? Why is He so silent when I need to hear a word about why I am going through this? But you know what? Almighty God saw the future while Joseph only saw the day. Do you know who else feels like that? Every man and woman who has to go through a divorce. Or after many years of struggling financially, loses your job and your business. Every person who has a good picture of what the family should look like, but has to see how the family falls apart and look different as to what they had envisaged, no matter how hard they tried. Every parent of a child who has poured him or herself into this child to see the child moving along the good path, but stand powerless as you see your child making bad choices and you have no control over that. Or the greatest tragedy or heartache when death comes knocking unexpectedly and takes a child or a spouse or a loved one from you, or a loved one is diagnosed with a terminal disease. I know some of you have followed God and you have put everything in following Him. And now you are at the stage where you say, and you look back at your life and you say, you know what? It was all for nothing. It didn't work. That's chaos, my brothers and sisters. The God we serve, however, is too wise to make a mistake. And He's too loving to be unkind. And He sees the world of tomorrow. Listen, God sent Joseph to prison in Egypt so he could become prime minister, because the Jewish people needed a place so a family of 70 could become a nation of millions during a period of 430 years. God needed special people to write the word of God, the truth that would crush the power of principalities and powers. God needed a nation that would give us prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, etc., to portray for us the world of tomorrow, to show us what is going to happen tomorrow, all written down in His Word. Through Joseph's struggle, God gave the world a nation that would give us the Messiah, Jesus Christ, who would go to the cross and would redeem the world from sin. And His blood would make you and you and you whiter than snow. Our sin and iniquity will be remembered no more and never brought up again. Think about that. Joseph could not see tomorrow, but God used the chaos and the struggle in his life to change the destiny of the world. When you struggle and go through adversity, think about the possibility that God is using your struggle and your adversity to do something for the next generation that you maybe will never see. That you are planting a tree beneath which shade you will never, ever sit. But every opportunity has difficulty. But every difficulty has opportunities. And it's only when you come to grips with difficulties that you realize your potential. The only difference between a worthless shell on the beach and a pearl is the grain of sand that irritated it year after year after year, and that constant source of irritation became a work of beauty that is priceless. Look at the adversity that you are going through as a work of God's majestic art, and He's going to change it into a life-changing theme for the next generation. Number three, chaos and struggle forces you to find a new way to face the future. Why? Because the things that we trust in today, the dollar and Wall Street and JSE, could fail us tomorrow. It could crash tomorrow. People will fail you. Jesus had disciples who said, "I'll fight and die with you." And a little while later, they said, "I do not know this man." and people will do that to you. How many brides and grooms have walked down this aisle, stood before God, and made a covenant with one another, and then one of them broke that covenant and broke the other one's heart after putting all their trust in their person? That's chaotic. That's anger. Where is God to allow something like that to happen? And you may think that there's no answer for me, but I promise you, God has 1,000 answers that you haven't thought of. Things and people in which whom you have put your trust will fail you. The winds that initially helped the disciples to cross the Sea of Galilee yesterday were now contrary and was failing them today. And my brothers and sisters, where do you go when the storms of life become greater than what you can endure? You go to the one whom the winds and waves obey, Jesus. He is the rock of our salvation, the shelter in time of storm or chaos, my fortress and my deliverer. He is the God who heals. He is the God who supplies all our needs, who alone gives perfect peace. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Ach, sing with me. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Once more. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Number 4. Ignore the winds and waves in the storm. Stop looking at your circumstance. Start looking for your opportunities. Peter was doing just fine walking on the water in that raging storm. With winds roaring and waves pounding, he was doing the impossible. Why? Because his eyes were focused on Jesus Christ. He was walking on the water to the Son of God, who was and still is the answer. Peter was doing fine until he started looking at the size of the waves, the howling winds, and the fear grabbed him, and he began to sink, and he believed that death was imminent. Listen, when you focus on Jesus, you will experience faith. And when fear knocks on the door, send faith to answer, and you will find that no one is there. A terrible temptation we have in times of trouble is what can be called catastrophe worship. Look how bad this is going to be. Look how big Goliath is. What if the government does this or that? What if Malema becomes president? What is going to happen to us in Hermanus? What if the doctor says, stop saying what if, and start saying, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And I can survive this financial crisis because I'm standing on the solid rock. I can overcome the sickness. By his stripes I am healed. I do not fear, for perfect love drives out all fear. The Bible says, nothing is impossible for those who believe. We should stop looking down and start looking up. number 5. Matthew 14:25. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Jesus came to the disciples in a very unexpected way, walking the water. Now, that is not something you see quite often. But the thing that was about to destroy the disciples, the water, Jesus was using that as a sidewalk to save them. The thing that is about to destroy you, Jesus will take it and use it as a life raft to walk right back to you and drag you back into the boat. Another example. Jesus' unexpected appearance on earth through the womb of a virgin. No one expected the Messiah to come this way. The world was looking for a Messiah on a white horse and with a sword and legions of soldiers to fight Rome to the death. But here comes God's answer in a manger, a baby born in poverty. The point is that God is trying to bring us the answer, and most of the time we miss it because we are looking in another direction and not expecting God to show up in the way He chooses to show up. And when Christ returns for His bride, it will for sure be, will not be as we have expected. We have made studies and we know exactly step for step, step by step, how Jesus is going to return. And we've even prophesied the day. Of course, that has been postponed quite a few times. But it will not be as we have thought it would be. The King is coming, my brothers and sisters. But the how and when will be a surprise to us all. Number 6. What appears to be tragedy are the words, "Fear not." I was so blessed when we were praying and the wall says, "Fear not, I am a child of God." Jesus spoke to them and said, "Be of good cheer, fear not." The message in the storm is, don't be afraid of it. Don't run from it. Face it head on. Run toward it. The words of Jesus often used in this ministry, in His ministry was, "Fear not. Fear not the past. It's forgotten and forgiven. Fear not the future. Angels of God going before you. Fear not your enemies. They will come to you one way, but God will defeat and scatter them, and they will leave you in several ways. Fear not today. The Lord of hosts is with you. The blood of the cross is on you, and the word of God is in your mouth. Fear not the chaos around you. Our hope is not in the government or money or possessions. Our hope is in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Worthy is the Lamb." Number 7. Listen for the voice of the Lord to give you a word of direction, a word of divine guidance. Now get this scene in your minds. Peter is a professional fisherman. He knows the Sea of Galilee. Now his life is in the balance. He's about to die by drowning. The other 11 disciples are screaming from the boat, "Get back in the boat. Are you crazy?" Peter needs a word of direction. In front of him, he sees a figure which he presumes to be a ghost. Why? Now, back in those days, history tells us that in the first century, sailors or mariners believed that just before they died, they would see a ghost. Now, Peter thinks that he is staring death in the face. His friends urge him back in the boat, but now he needs a word of direction. Either walk on the water or get back in the boat. One word saved Peter's life. Come. Many people want to hear from the Lord through the trumpet sound of the angels or technicolor dreams or visions. All Peter heard was, come. Have you ever asked God for a word of revelation or direction about your future? Ask and you shall receive. Peter stepped out of his comfort zone, that which was familiar, and he did something which he had never done in his life. He exercised faith on a level he had never experienced before. And God is asking some of us this morning to come out of your comfort zone and by faith towards Jesus Christ and live your life without limits. Stop allowing your past to control your future. Learn from the past, but stop living in the past. Listen for God's voice of direction. It will be very simple and very clear. And when you hear His voice, the storm or turmoil will cease. 2 Chronicles 2:17. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. So I want to conclude with a short testimony of my own life and the storms that I had to face. Just a few of the greatest storms in my own life. Firstly, of course, it was the birth of the triplets. And that really threw the whole family in a turmoil. But you know, through this chaos, God saved my wife. That was my second biggest problem. Because of her salvation and her subsequent baptism, I persecuted her like I can't tell you how much. I used to abuse her physically because what she did to my church. I wasn't saved, but I thought I was doing God a favor. Now I used to belittle her in front of friends and making jokes of her faith. Praise God, I got saved. And the lawyer is still waiting for that case to continue, the divorce case, because I'd instituted divorce proceedings with my wife. Then God saved me. Because of that, I turned sect. I lost my job in the company of pharmacy of a pharmacist where I was a shareholder. And then our move to Franschhoek. It was such a small, silent voice. I had planned everything. We will go there, or we'll go there and buy a pharmacy there, or do that. And that small, still voice. And we went to Franschhoek. There the church started in our home, which is now the present Shofar Church in Franschhoek. But then in 94, I played action cricket. I was about 90 years old then. And I injured my back, and the next morning when I woke up, I was sort of paralyzed. That was the most traumatic experience in my life in hospital. I spent a month in hospital under this tremendous pain. There was no let up of pain. It was horrific. Eventually got addicted to the morphine. Then one night, while unable to sleep, I sensed the presence of God in our room, in my room. And I clearly heard God saying to me, is there anything between you and me that you regard more precious I thought, well, we've got this beautiful home. My wife wants to start a B&B. And up my pharmacy, I said, well, Lord, it's the house and the pharmacy. He said, will you give it to me? I said, Lord, take it, because I knew. Now, if I give it to him, he's going to take the pain away. I gave it to the Lord, and nothing happened. And that's a few nights later, I experienced this. I had the same experience, the presence of God in that room. He said, is there anything else that you regard higher than me in your life? I said, well, God, it's my children. He says, will you give them to me? Very reluctantly, I started giving the eldest one, Tommy, Annalene, Ignatius, Usher, Walter, Marinus. I said, Lord, then you take them. Nothing happened. A few nights later, the Lord appeared to me again. He says, is there anything else in your life? I said, God, I've only got my wife, but I don't know whether I'm prepared to offer her. Because by then I thought God was going to take my life, or he's going to take my family's life. He said, unless you give her to me, I cannot fulfill my purposes with your life. I said, all right, God, I give her to you. That was a Saturday evening. Sunday, three brothers came at different times, prayed for me, and the pain was gone. But I'd forgotten it. And then, that was in April, I started working again in December in my pharmacy. We were very busy that day. And one of my former pastor's wives came in, and I said, what are you doing here? She says, no, I've just come to say hello. My husband and I have been doing missionary work in the Ukraine and in Russia for the past few months, but we cannot get a longer leave, and we've got to come back. And I thought, well, I was an elder there for quite a few years, so I better say something spiritual as well. So I said, you know, I've always said to the Lord, if he wants to use me, I wouldn't mind going to Russia. She says, are you serious? Look at the goosebumps. And I knew I'd painted myself into a corner, because I had no desire for missions whatsoever. But you know, just to cut the long story short, my children said, how could you leave us? Especially, I still had one fifth year medicine. How can you leave us? Leave me in this stage of my life and go overseas. I'm still studying. And then I remembered, I've given away everything to God. He must be number one. And if I give them away, he will see to everyone. It is not my worries. My brothers and sisters, and then just lastly, this is a true story of a women's group that had a Bible study. That specific day, they discussed, he will sit like a refiner of silver, burning away the dross. And one of the ladies decided she would go to a silversmith to see how he does this, the refining of silver. So he took this unrefined piece, watch him taking this unrefined piece of silver and holding it in the fire. And so she said to him, do you sit there the whole time watching this silver? He says, I don't take my eyes off it, because if I overcook, this silver will be spoilt. Just think of our Heavenly Father. Whatever you go through, you in the fire, but he's watching you, and he will not harm you. So she said to him, but how do you know when the silver is refined? He says, oh, that's easy, when I can see my reflection in it. And that is my desire, my prayer for you. That the reflection of Christ, whatever you go through, that the reflection of Christ will be seen in each one of you. Amen. I've got this old, old song. I know the young generation won't know it. But I know the older ones will know it. And it goes like this. Through it all, I have learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. Once more. Through it all, I've learned to Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. Lord Jesus, how can I face this time in my life? We tend to forget that You are in our lifeboat. You promised never to leave nor forsake us. And Your promises are yes and amen. And by faith we come to You this morning to lay all our burdens at Your feet. And Lord, here we are. Melt us, break us, mold us into lives that are changed, into glorious vessels for Your use. My brother and sister, I want to ask those of you, if you are really going through a storm, please do not let this opportunity go past. You come forward. We'll be waiting here to pray with you. Whatever your problem, don't be shy and come and lay it at Jesus' feet. Father, in Jesus' name, I bless my brothers and sisters. As we come towards the end of this year, we may be looking back at failures of the past. But Lord, all our failures are used as a compost heap, turned into compost for use in the year that lies ahead, to be able to produce the fruit that You desire from us. May Your name be glorified in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.